Series called Taking the Land Together. We have been looking in the book of Joshua with about being together, about being relational, the power of community, the power of the Holy Spirit. What is God saying to the body? Where is God taking us as a church? Most importantly, that we're taking the land, but we're taking it together. Pastor Dana talked last week about being blessed together. How many of you guys caught Pastor Dana's message last week? If you did not, please go and watch it. It will bless you. She basically covered three thoughts, and let me just give those to you. One about, what does it mean to be blessed by God? She kind of asked that question and putting it out there, talking about being in covenant and living in his favor. She also asked the question, what does it mean to be cursed by God? Living outside or living without, living with the consequences. But then she also helped us identify the blessing blockers. And I would encourage you to go back, watch that message. It was a blessing. And plus, let me just ask this question. How many of you loved getting blessed or prayed over after the service, that blessing? Guys, listen, Sunday, the second service, I wanted to get blessed before the second service because Lori and I had to leave a little bit early last week, and so I was standing in line, and something happened, and I couldn't get blessed, and it kind of bothered me, you know? So Monday, you know, we went to our leaders meeting, and I just asked Pastor Bill, because I saw him up there doing it. I said, dude, could you pray that prayer blessing over Lori and I? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. So we went to, so I got blessed, you guys. Hey, man, that's all, I guess, what I'm trying to say. I got my blessing, so it was awesome. Now, today's message, I was battling with, what do I title this? I had, like, When the Sun Stood Still, Sunny Side Up, A Day Like No Other, All I Do Is Win. Anyway, but I went with the subject of Win the Day. Everybody say Win the Day. When I was in real estate, I was full-time for a couple years there from 2018 to 2020. I realized very quickly that I had to have a win every day. You know, if I'm not signing a contract or selling somebody's home, closing a deal, every day I was trying to find a win in the day, making a phone call, door knocking, you know, just whatever I could do just to make it feel like I was building the pipeline of being able to sell a home. With Lori in our relationship, obviously I didn't win the day by not getting her her own sweater. But in our relationship, I really do try to figure out, like, how do I win the day with her? You know, like, is it, you know, giving her this past week a kiss, making sure that I tell her I love her, vacuuming the house, you know, all these kind of, in fact, this past week, she came home, she had a really tough day on Wednesday, and she just didn't want to cook. And so I looked at my watch, and I knew the traffic was going to be bad, but I said, babe, I'm going to go out and get us some dinner. You know, win the day. To get a win. And that's what we're looking at here, and it's what we're going to look at in this scripture that we're going to. I really do believe that God is interested in what happens in our daily lives. I think sometimes as believers we think, well, Lord, I just can't wait for my new season or my new chapter. And what that does is it puts weeks on it. It puts months on it where God says, I want to bless you daily. I'm interested in what's going on in your life daily. Whenever we would need him, he is there. So I want to expand just a little bit just to lead us into what we're going to talk about today. Joshua chapter 8, Pastor Dana basically took us through this amazing message talking about the blessing. And it actually ends by saying that all of Israel, every person, man, woman, or child, heard the words that Moses had left them, and they were blessed. Then we go into chapter 9. And chapter 9 is leading into kind of the battle stage of what's about to happen now as they're going to go and take what was promised to them. So let's read here in Joshua 9, 1 and 2, and it says this. Now when all the kings west of the Jordan heard about these things, the kings in the hill country, in the western foothills, and along the entire coast of the Mediterranean Sea as far as Lebanon, here's all the ites, the king of the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, they came together to wage war against Joshua and Israel. So there's a city called Gibeon. Gibeon is kind of recognized in the Bible as being a very strategic city. It was actually somewhere where there was a lot of trade. It was known as kind of a beautiful city. And so, but the Gibeons didn't want anything to do with fighting against Israel. So what they did in fear, because they had heard all of the miracles that God, they got old with this army, that they made themselves look like nomads, like they were a traveling people. They got old bread, they got some old wineskins, and they came and they basically fooled Joshua and the leaders, convincing them that they, you know, that they wanted to be protected by them. And so Joshua makes a covenant with the Gibeonites that they will not destroy them. Now, guys, here's the thing that I want us to catch, and it's found in verse 14 of chapter 9. It says, but they did not ask counsel from the Lord. So what happens is because they didn't go to God before they made this decision. Remember, we're talking about that he wants to be in our lives when? Daily. So we're asking counsel. You need counsel. And so they didn't ask for counsel, and so they got fooled. Here's the thing, is that if we're going to win the day, we need to involve God in every part of the decision-making of our lives. Listen, buying cars, you know, that's a hard one, whether it's a used car or a new car or whatever. But Lori and I will, we'll go, we'll find it, think we found a car that we think we like, and we'll go and we'll eat. In fact, one time we ate such a bad meal, I'm not sure if we made a good decision because of it, but we had gone to 7-Eleven and decided to eat one of their pizzas, which I couldn't believe. Honestly. Guys, guess what we watched? We watched a woman who also got a pizza, and she put nacho cheese all over the entire thing. But after that meal, we asked God to help us with our decision in buying that car. Guys, the Gibeonites deceived Joshua and the leadership of Israel. The Gibeonites, because of that, though, they didn't get away with it all the way, because it says for the rest of their lives, as far as what we read in the Bible, they became woodcutters and water carriers for the nation of Israel for the rest of their lives because of that. So now we come to Joshua chapter 10. The king of Jerusalem hears that Joshua has taken Jericho, that he's defeated Ai, and the people of Gideon now have made this peace treaty. Now, when I say the king of Jerusalem, this is not a Hebrew king. This is not a godly king. This is a heathen king that is over Jerusalem right now. He finds out about this peace treaty. Then it says that all the kings decide they're going to go now and attack Gibeon because of this peace treaty. Now, let me just say this. When we think about the story, sometimes we think about the five kings, but there was actually 10 kings, 10 kingdoms that were going to come against Gibeon. The king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Yarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, and the five kings of the Amorites. So here we are. Gibeon now is being surrounded by these enemies. They send some runners down to Gilgal. We're going to look at something here in a second about that, but Gilgal is where the Israelites are encamped. They go down and they're crying to them, please come quickly and save us. That's found in Joshua 10:6. And now we'll come back to this, but I want to skip a little forward because this is what the entire message is going to rest on. And I'm skipping forward, but this is where it is in Joshua 10:12-14. You guys look at this. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, sun, stand still over Gibeon. And you, moon, over the valley of Ahilon. And so the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the nation avenged itself on the enemies, as it is written in the book of Yashar. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky, and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. So what is God saying to us today? What can we take from the story of Joshua and the battle of Gibeon? And how does this apply to my life? And what are the takeaways? So here I have three thoughts. And the first thought is this right here. God can use the darkest times to prepare us for what he has promised. Amen. The darkest moments of your life, God can use to take you to where he is. Now let's go back to Joshua 10:7-10. So the Gibeonites have sent two runners. They've said, please come quickly and save us. So Joshua now is getting his army together. And let's read this found in chapter 10, verse 7-10. It says this. So Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army. Remember, they didn't send 3,000 this time. They're sending the whole crew, including all the best fighting men. The Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. After an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel. So Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely at Gibeon. So Joshua doesn't make the same mistake twice. This time he seeks the counsel of the Lord, and the Lord tells him that he is blessing them for battle. Now, you guys, look at this map that's going to come up for you. You can see Gilgal up here at the top right, and you can see where they marched in to take Jericho. Then if you look up at the top, there's Ai up there by Bethel, and basically that's where they had fought. But they have now gone back to Gilgal. The Gibeonites have sent a runner. See how far that they had? That's 20 miles, you guys, okay? 20 miles. Now, the army of Israel is marching toward them. Now, let me give you just a little bit of detail of where they're coming from. It's a 20-mile march, and they're ascending the entire time up to 3,500 feet climb for 20 miles in the night, okay? I don't know when was the last time that you walked for 20 miles. The closest is probably going to be if you take your family to Disneyland or Disney World. 10, 12 hours of walking around there, you're going to get about almost 30,000 steps. So it's going to be a pretty good walk for you guys. Now, guys, here's the thing is they've marched 12 hours of hard marching all throughout the night. It says after an all-night march. I don't know when the last time was that you were up all night. So you're just sick. Maybe you can't go to sleep because you're thinking too much. And so you're just up all night. Raising babies. Listen, all three of our kids, I was up every night with our babies. I don't think I'm winning the day right now, am I? We made it our dog, you know, twice, and for 8 weeks of my life, you know, I was up all night. We had a sleeping schedule where I was up all night, and I would sleep during the day because the pups had to eat every 3 hours, had to make sure Nala wasn't laying on top of them. So I remember those days. I remember being a youth pastor and doing all-nighters and how you pay for it the next day. But guys, here it is. These men have marched all through the night, ascending the entire time, and they're going to go straight into battle. Many scholars believe that when Israel attacked the enemy surrounding Gibeon, that it was still early morning and that the sun hadn't even crested yet. So they're attacking them in the dark. It says in Scripture that the Lord threw them into confusion. The enemy didn't even know what was going on. And this story could have had so many different outcomes. And I want to just give you a few. This is how it could have read. That when the men got there, they were so tired that they rested until afternoon. Or that it was so dark and so far that the men grumbled and complained the whole way. Some men turned back in fear of being attacked while it was still dark. But guys, this is exactly where the enemy, I'm going to say his name right for you, Satan himself wants to keep you. He wants to keep you in a place of that you don't want to try to work your way out of dark times in your life. That this is exactly where you're going to be, and this is exactly where you're going to stay. The devil wants to keep you there. So, Lori, if you'll come up here and help me. I actually don't even know how to. I think you guys already knew what this was. But we up here. And thank you. I was going to make a joke, but I'm not going to. I want to say this, that we have a bed here. We can all see that it's a bed. I'm gonna sit on it here in a second. But I fully recognize, and I want to make sure that I say this up front, that in the spiritual sense and in the physical sense, that a bed is really a place that we would know for that we're going to go to rest. That this is where, and I want you to know that it's good, that rest is good, that meditating on the Lord is good, that praying to God is good, and having that time of rest in prayer. But guys, when you're looking at this also, is that the bed also in the world is a place that is defiled, adultery, you know, fornication. It's taken advantage of. It's given a new meaning. Since 2020, COVID-19, this is what we found is that, and when I say this, it's millions upon millions of people worldwide because of the time of isolation, have found themselves in a place that this is a place where they handle their depression, their anxiety. They don't want to go to work anymore. They want to stay in bed. There's some that, you know, I've asked the Lord to help me say this as gentle as I possibly can, but I want to say it and I want you to receive it in love, is that we still have a lot of believers that would rather watch church on Sundays in bed than actually get up and get dressed and come and be with us. That's in love, total love. But what happens is we have a people now that are very depressed. They're filled with anxiety. They've actually become, let me say this in love, lazy. Because we have every business that I can even think of out there that are trying to hire people to come and work for them. But we're not doing that. This is the culture that this has created. The bed has become a place of escape, a place to disappear. And the enemy wants you to remain in a place of fear and hopelessness. But see, Jesus sees this differently. Jesus sees dark times differently. Can I get an amen? Jesus sees, and I want you to receive this, dark times as an opportunity for a miracle. Jesus sees a dark moment in your life as an opportunity for his Father to move in your life and that a miracle can happen. Okay, so here we go. Let me get in this bed. Okay, guys. Okay, I got to make sure it's good. Okay, guys, listen. I've never wondered what it would be like to preach in bed, but I guess this is kind of cool. All right, so there's a couple things to think about in bed, especially when you're going through a depressing moment in your life. One is that hopefully you're going to choose to get out of that bed because the enemy wants you to stay right here. Is everybody with me? But when we're in the bed, there's a couple ways you can get out. One is that you can roll out of bed. It's a few ways. You can be rolled out of bed, pushed out of bed, or you can fall out of bed. Has anybody ever fallen out of bed in your lifetime? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. For those who haven't, I'm going to illustrate for you. So you can choose to roll out of bed instead of getting up. So it looks something like this. Oh, okay. I don't know if I'm going to do that in the second service. All right, so, yeah, here we go. So you can choose to do what I just did there, and it's actually kind of painful. The other way is this right here, that you can say, you can kind of like make up your mind, enough is enough. I'm going to put my feet on the ground. I'm going to stand up and move into what God has called me to go into. It's winning the day. The winning the day is getting out of the bed. You're putting your feet on the ground and you're saying, I'm going to stand up, God, on what you're calling me to. And I want to win the day in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? So falling out of bed took my breath away. The Israeli army was marching in the darkest of night. Okay. It wasn't an easy march. I'm sure that they were tired, I'm sure that they were hungry, and I'm sure that they were thirsty, but God was with them, and he threw the enemy into confusion. And you want to throw the devil and the enemy into confusion, and here's the thing is, to call out to God in a moment of despair. See, the enemy doesn't think that you're going to do that because he's had you in a place for so long that when you finally do call out to him, in a moment of despair, it throws the enemy into confusion. Guys, listen to this. Get moving. Even though times may be dark, but you're moving toward God and what he has promised for you. Reject the enemy's plan for your life and just get up out of bed, put your feet on the ground, stand up and say, enough is enough. In the name of Jesus, I'm done with this. I'm moving forward with what he's called me to. You see, the Israeli army came straight out of darkness and defeated the enemy completely. Win the day. You see, God does his work, but he draws us into working with him. You see, God often waits to see our initiative. Are we willing? Are we going to bring our willingness? Chuck talked about, or I forgot where it came from. I think it was Chuck talking about willingness and weakness. Are we willing to bring this to him and allow God to do something with it, to be a partner with him? Before he does what only he can do. Win the day. Everybody say win the day. That you would win the day. Open your word. Develop a prayer life. You know, give thanks. and love on people, you'll win the day. Here's my second thought. God honors bold prayers. He honors bold prayers, he honors bold faith, and he honors bold requests. Let's look at Joshua chapter 10, verse 12. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites, we're going to read this over to Israel. Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, "Sun, so stand still over Gibeon, and you, moon, over the valley of Ajalon." So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the nation avenged itself on the enemies, as it was written in the book of Yashar. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky, and day delayed going down about a full day. Now, the book of Yashar is actually a book that was a like their hymns. It was a book that they wrote into, that they had songs and they had poems that, of all the things and the miracles that the Israelites had seen over the years with God. They had it all in a book. Today, they don't know where that book is. They've rewritten one. I think it was, I forgot when they started the new book of Yashar, but that's what this is referring to. The other thing that you notice in this passage is that the sun stood still. Okay, so let me expand on that a little bit. NASA believes that they have found a missing day. Okay, it is they believe that there's a 24-hour day missing. Now, a lot of scholars stand up and say NASA can't even find 500 moon rocks that they brought back from the moon. So how could they find a missing day in all of eternity? So you have people that fight against that. They can't really use it as a credible source. Guys, listen to this. Some scholars, biblical scholars, believe that it was actually a solar eclipse that happened, that when the sun and moon stopped, that they continued to fight in darkness, and that's why it was confusing, and the sun, it just caused this massive solar eclipse. There is some believers or scholars that I actually read a book that Brad gave to me, a section that said that they believe that when the sun rose, that it stopped there, and which would allow the sun to be here and the moon to be wherever it was, but it was in the eyes of the enemy. They couldn't see, that it blinded them. So that would have caused some confusion. Then there's others that believe that the sun never came into play. That there was cloud cover, that there was darkness. And where they get this from is when you read in the scripture right here where it says, so the sun stood still and the moon stopped. And so here it is, it says, for the sun to stand still over Gibeon, to be stand still is demam in Hebrew. And that word in Hebrew means to be silent, to wait, to stand still, or even this, listen to this, to stop working. So here it is. It hinges on one portion of the scripture, though, because if you keep reading, it says this, the sun stopped in the middle of the sky. So we know that the sun came up. Is everybody with me on this? Stopped in the middle of the sky. And this is what I want to say. Out of all those different ways it could have happened, and maybe even more, this is all I know, is that only God could have done what happened that day. And it was a miracle of God that took place. And when these miracles happen in our lives, we don't have any medical explanation. We can't explain how money got into our account. We can't explain how all of a sudden our marriage turned around like that. It's because it was a miracle of God. And there was a prayer that was made, and it was a prayer that made the sun stand still. And I really believe this. Some of us need to start adopting that mindset that we would pray a prayer that would stop the sun. Amen? That we could do this. Joshua got exactly what he asked for. His bold request was granted. I truly believe the takeaway here is that God responds to bold prayers, is that God wants to unleash a miracle in your life that he can only do, and that God wants us to live not one more day in fear, not one more day. That when we used to sing that song, "Be bold, be strong, for the Lord thy God is with you," that comes out of Joshua 1:9. Look at this. It's coming up for you. "Haven't I ordered you? Be strong. Be bold. So don't be afraid or downhearted because Adonai, your God, is with you wherever you go." Hebrews 13:6 says it this way. "I know the Lord is for me, and I will never be afraid of what people may do to me." In the message, it says it this way. "God is ready to help. I'm fearless no matter what. Who or what can get to me?" That's good scriptures, amen? Mark Batterson says it this way. The prayers says, bold prayers honor God, and God honors bold prayers. And if your prayers aren't impossible to you, they are insulting to God. You see, the sun standing still is God responding to your prayers, to the boldness of your faith. The sun standing still is God saying yes to what we've asked for. The sun standing still is God giving his divine attention to our personal needs. That if he could hear the prayer of Joshua, he can hear your prayer too. Can I get an amen? Win the day. Everybody say win the day. Here's my third and final thought. That God fights for us in battle. We are never alone. So let's go back into the scripture. Joshua 10:8. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand." Okay, so I started playing football when I was 7 years old, and I played up through my junior year. And my second year, I was playing the second year in a row for this team called Ampi. And I'm going to put this picture up for you right here. Is that like the meanest football player you've ever seen? We were like the Miami Dolphins. We had those colors, you can see. And that, and I don't even remember what Ampi was, but it was a business that sponsored us. But we were 4-0. We hadn't lost a game. We were a good team. I think that year I was playing like right defensive end, and on offense I played like flanker or wide receiver. And so that was who we were. We were 4-0. And back when you played, and even today, when you're in a league, you will you go to school with friends who play on other teams. So we would have conversations at lunch. They would say, "Hey, have you played Burger King yet?" And I was like, no, I haven't played Burger King. He says, "Dude," he goes, they're scary, like they're tough, you know, this whole thing. And so we had a night game against Burger King. And so we get there, and they're at the very end on the other side of the field, and we're on this field doing our other side, and we're doing our calisthenics and warming up and all this. And guys, we can't stop with the Burger King because they're in jet black. Black helmets, black face mask with the Burger King logo, you know, black pants with the striped kind of B, the B looking. They look like the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they looked huge. And so we're over there, and guys, they started kind of playing mind games with us. I was actually kind of scared to play these dudes. Well, guys, just to fast forward, we finally do the kickoff, and we're on defense first, and we walk out on the field. And all of a sudden, you get up to where they are, and you realize they're no bigger than we are. Is everybody, you know what I'm saying? And so, and I'm going to admit this, it was the toughest game of the year. We ended up barely beating them in the fourth quarter, but it was a tough game. But guys, here's the thing is that I learned some things, that I wasn't alone. And at a young age, I learned the value of having a team behind me, that it made all the difference, that there is value in community. Can I get an amen? That there is value in being together. And if you receive anything today, receive this, that you are blessed, that you are important, that you are not alone, that you are loved, that you are worth it, and that you are needed. Not only can you start winning your days, seeing more victories in your life, some of us are going to have to eventually face our Burger Kings. You're going to have to. Remember, we talked about it. You can lay here all, as long as you want to, and hide from it, and let the devil speak nonsense into your life. But at some point, you're going to get out of the spiritual bed, put your feet on the floor, and stand up that I want to win the day. Come on, Burger King. Let's go. You don't have to do one more minute of it alone. That God stands ready to fight for you. Joshua 10 and 11. It says that as they fled. So check this out. Israel has just punished the guys that had surrounded the city. And the kingdoms of the Amorites decide, I'm out of here. And so they start fleeing down the valleys, trying to get away from them. And here's what it says. And as they fled before Israel and on them from Beth Horon and Azekah, that the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them. And more of them died from the hail than those that were killed by the swords of the Israelites. God actually fought for them. Is everybody catching this picture right here? When God fights for us, here's the other thing. When I picture this, and the Israelites are watching this go down, and they're watching these guys running and trying to get away, and God is just pummeling with his hailstones, they're just sitting out there with their hands like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like battle cries. And guys, what I think about this is how I fight my battles. I lift up my hands. This is how I fight my battle. I put it up, and that God fights for us. He fights for me. And so when you think, well, I don't know if God can do this. Well, all you got to do is just put your hands up. Just say, Lord, this is how you said you're going to do this for me, so this is how I fight my battle. I've got my hands raised to you, and I want you to move. Joshua 10:14, it says, there has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. Win the day. Everybody say, win the day. Win the day. Worship team, if you want to come on up, I'm going to go ahead and close this up. Guys, we serve the Waymaker. Coming out of spring into the summer, I don't know if you remember, but we as a church, we went through the book of John looking at the names of Jesus. And if you remember, I'm going to just kind of give this to you here in a second, but you have to understand about the Waymaker is that he hears us, that he knows us, that he loves us and he fights for us. And who am I speaking of? He is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. The door, the vine, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth, and the life. He is God. Amen? And guys, listen, let me just tell you how powerful God is, just to refresh your memory of what we've read in Scripture. In Genesis, it's read past God, when he started creation, he said, let there be light. Now, you can read past that kind of quickly, but if you don't really pay attention to what you're reading, did you know that the sun, the moon, and the stars don't even come into play until the third day? Think about what I'm saying, you guys. The sun, the moon, and the stars haven't even been created yet, but yet there's light. The power of God himself, the light that emanates from him, that would come from him, that would come from the word that he would speak, that he could speak light into existence without a sun. That's the power of our God. This is the God that we serve, where 5 + 2 doesn't equal 7 anymore. You have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and they can feed 5,000 people with that. And it says in Scripture that they had 12 baskets of reserve. That this is a God that we serve, that he calls life into that which was dead for 4 days. Who makes dry ground in the middle of the sea. Who makes an axe head float. He is the God who made the sun stand still. And there has never been a day since or like it. Nothing. Nothing compares to it because it was God. Jesus himself spoke. Guys, check this out. Jesus himself actually speaks to winning the day. And I want to give it to you in Scripture. Matthew 6:34, it says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now look at it in the message. Give your entire attention to what God is doing what? Right now, today. What is he doing today? What is he saying to you today? And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. So win the day and let God fight for you. Amen? Let me refresh you. God can use the darkest times to prepare us for what he has promised. That God honors bold prayers. And that God listens for us in battle and we are not alone. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. I just want to ask a few questions. And we're going to take communion here in just a second. But I want to ask this question. Nobody looking around, just you and the Lord. Is there anyone here that is struggling to get out of that spiritual bed? Maybe it's physically. It's just tough to get out of bed because of depression, because of anxiety. You're not taking care of yourself the way that you should. Hopelessness. Maybe you're feeling alone. And how many of us maybe in this room are just needing to experience a win in our lives? That you're just needing some victories. That you're not praying the prayers that you should be praying. And you're just wanting God to move in your life. If you just need victories in your life, if that's you, anybody, if it's you're having trouble getting and moving, you're just depressed, you're filled with anxiety, you've got the enemy messing with your mind, whatever that looks like. If that's you, just very quickly, just lift up your hand. Yeah, I see this one here. Anybody else? Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I want to say this over you. Everybody, just keep your eyes bowed, closed, and eyes bowed, heads bowed. I just want to say this to you. I'm praying this over your life, that you will wake up tomorrow and you're going to start your day by praying an audacious prayer. a prayer that makes the sun stop. I want to, let me tell you something. Audacious means that it's recklessly bold, a disregard of normal restraints, that you would pray this prayer and that God is going to start moving in your life, that you will see the plans of the enemy be thrown into confusion. So if you're comfortable with this, everybody, while you're seated, just lift up a hand to the Lord, along with these that lifted their hands. Father God, we lift our hands to say, Lord, I don't want to be thrown out of bed. I don't want to be pulled out of bed. I don't want to be forced out of bed. I don't want to roll out of bed. I want to put my feet down. I want to stand up, and I'm going to ask you, God, to fight my battle. That would pray with me that I would win the day. Father, Lord, we lift our hands that we would be a people that would pray an audacious prayer, recklessly bold, no restraints, believing in the God who calls death, life into death that has been dead for 4 days, that makes dry ground in the middle of a sea, that causes people to be healed that doctors don't have an explanation for it, that makes marriages that are just about to sign the divorce papers, that they fall back in love with each other. That, Lord, I'm praying to that God, God that made the sun stand still. And we lift our hands to say, help us. Satan, you are a liar. You are our enemy. You have nothing good for us, but you've been holding us captive. And we lift our hands to say, God, break these chains. Everybody say, break these chains. Set me free. Say that. And Father, we just ask you to bless us, continue to anoint us, continue to keep us moving to build your kingdom. And I ask this in your holy and precious name, Lord, that the sun would stand still so that we can win the day. The son of your son, Jesus, Lord, would just be with us so that we would win the day. And I ask this in your holy and precious name. And everybody said amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise.